young, so strong, so ready for the war, so willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together, everybody looks the same, so there's no one you can blame. Don't be ashamed, light the flame, one more parade. Medals on their coats and guns in their hands, trained to kill as they're trained to stand. 10,000 ears need only one command. Here comes the big parade. Don't be afraid, price is paid, one more parade. So young, so strong, so ready for the war, so willing to go and die upon a foreign shore. All march together.
She looked me over and I guess she thought I was all right. All right in the sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. When the head of the not-for-profit New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, stepped down last September, details of his shocking severance pay package were disclosed. Now, after a four-month-long investigation, the New York State Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, has filed a civil lawsuit against the former executive seeking to recover over $100 million of Grasso's pay package. The lawsuit charges all of the compensation directors that voted unanimously in favor of this contract were appointed by and under the supervision of Grasso, who charges that the stock exchange still owes him $48 million.
Commercial aviation workers at factories owned by Boeing in Kansas and Oklahoma are a bit edgy after finding out the company's looking to sell the facilities, which employ some 8,500 people. No word on whether or not a sale would mean job losses, but unions at the plants believe so. Potential buyers may begin touring the facilities next month, and Boeing hopes to complete a sale before the end of the year.
A new report released by the nonpartisan U.S. General Accounting Office says the Bush administration violated federal law by sending videos out to press offices that contained made-to-look-real newscasts, complete with actors portraying reporters. Federal law prohibits taxpayer money for use in the production of propaganda, and the GAO found that in the White House videos, viewers could not tell the message came from the government and that the actors playing reporters were paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A study released yesterday by the United Nations International Labor Organization finds nearly half the world's population is deprived of internationally recognized rights on the job, most notably the rights to collectively organize and bargain with employers. The abuses are worst in developing countries, and especially those that have set up special development zones for global trade. In such places, workers are regularly intimidated for suggesting union representation. The report also notes there is no evidence to suggest that giving workers the freedom to associate and bargain collectively hurts a country's economy. This finding confirms conclusions reached in a similar report released last year by the World Bank.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to a new report released by Washington-based researchers at Good Jobs First, Walmart stores are getting rich at taxpayers' expense. In the past 10 years, Walmart has received more than $1 billion in state and local government subsidies for its 2,900 stores and 91 distribution centers in the United States. The subsidies range from tax refunds and job training to road construction to the stores.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
So far, the most interesting aspect to the Bush government's prison torture scandal in Iraq, and who knows where else, is the refusal by the Bushites to take responsibility. These people constantly lecture the rest of us on being responsible for our actions, asserting that there's no relativity when it comes to good and evil. Yet here, tucked in the dark horror of their own war, are actions that rank among the purest of evils, and all they give us is moral equivocation and ducking of personal responsibility. George himself says only that he's disgusted and repulsed by the torture. But wait a minute. Hasn't he been the one to set the tone by demonizing his enemies as evildoers who deserve all the horror they get? Isn't he the president who has autocratically suspended the human rights of thousands of detainees? And didn't he officially authorize the CIA and FBI to go at least to the legal brink of torture in their interrogation of suspects? Also, George was told about the torture back in January. Was he repulsed then, too? Or is he only disgusted now that the torture has become public? Then there's Rumsfeld. He says he takes full responsibility for what happened. But that's just empty rhetoric, for he insists that he should pay no price for what happened, even though he's the one who imperiously declared at the war's start that Iraqi captives would not get the humane protections of the Geneva Convention, and even though he's known since last year that this torture was going on. Rummy even tried to escape the moral seriousness of the crimes by claiming that they are abuse rather than torture. Meanwhile, Bush and Rumsfeld are proceeding with heavily publicized military trials of a few low-level grunts in Iraq, hoping to sacrifice them to an angry public while washing their own hands of any responsibility. This is Jim Hightower saying, accountability is essential, especially in war, and it runs all the way to the top.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends. Patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. Tom Hartman here, broadcasting live, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, beaming into radios and homes across America from radio stations from California to North Carolina, into television sets on Cable Radio Network. And, of course, on the Internet at radiopower.org with archives at whiterosesociety.org and on our website, Michael Toth has put together some selected excerpts, tomhartman.com. You can drop into our chat room, which is already filling up for one of the best conversations going on. Well, it's official, folks. It's official. George W. Bush has come up with a plan for Iraq, finally, after a year. And it's John Kerry's plan. It's just John Kerry's, except it's not particularly well executed. I mean, if John Kerry has said, you know, if he were to do the plan that he proposed almost a year ago that George Bush, shall we say, heavily borrowed from last night, the first thing he'd do is get on a plane and go over and talk to these foreign leaders or invite them to the White House or have a summit at Camp David and say, hey, guys, let's get together. Let's create a meeting of minds. How can we make this thing work? Well, Bush, I think when he was in elementary school, he got that, you know, doesn't play well with others mark on his card from the days when he was in college. when he and some friends in his fraternity trashed a car in a black neighborhood, and he showed up in court wearing jeans and no socks and just walked up to the judge in the middle of the proceeding and said, "Just tell me what I owe you. Let me write the damn check and get out of here." Shocking the judge. Of course, his father was a congressman at the time, and I guess you don't mess around. But anyhow, it's just kind of the story of his life, you know. Not taking responsibility. Not even very often telling the truth. Here, this amazing, you know, White House spokesman Trent Duffy. You've seen, you know, a lot of people, they saw Bush's face and they thought, uh-oh, has he been drinking pretzels again? And, well, no, he fell off his bike. And the official explanation, and here it is from the Associated Press, White House spokesman Trent Duffy, talking about the weather down there in Crawford, Texas, where Bush was hanging out. He says, "Well, you know, it's been raining a lot, and the topsoil is loose. You know this president, he likes to go all out." Suffice it to say, he wasn't whistling show tunes. It's been raining a lot, and the topsoil was loose? Well, when you check the weather report, you discover it hadn't rained in a week in Crawford, Texas. This administration cannot even tell the truth about the weather. About the weather.
Yes, there's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and therefore, and we, any minute now we've got a bomb coming, and, you know, if we don't mushroom clouds in a...
No, not even about the weather. Well, some of the things that were in this... I'm reluctant to call it a speech. It wasn't quite a campaign... It was really a desperate attempt at damage control. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, let's call it what it was. And there's some curious things, and it reflects this neocon thinking, which I think is very, very destructive to the United States, a country that I have served, that I love, that I have lived in for 53 years. And that I see now being harmed both internally by so-called conservative economic policies, which Dwight Eisenhower would run as fast as he could from, and being harmed externally by an administration and a president with arrogance as the cornerstone of their foreign policy. Anyhow, in his speech last night, he made an interesting comment. He said, "America's task in Iraq is to defeat an enemy." Now, he's not talking about a year ago when he convinced everybody, well, not everybody. I mean, the rest of the world said, "Wait a minute, we'd like to Hans Blix to finish the job, please. Let's find out if there really are weapons of mass destruction, if this country really does represent a threat to the world. If that's the case, Germany, France, China, Russia, and all the other countries on the Security Council, not to mention, you know, about 100 other countries in the, they all said, if that's the case, we're with you. We're with you." And I know it's very fashionable on the con talk shows, and even on the
liberal corporate media talk shows like CNN and ABC and CBS to have on people like, you know, the Mooney, Tony Blankley, you know, with the Washington Times, have him coming on and saying things like, "Well, you know, the whole world thought he had weapons of mass destruction. They were all in favor of going in there." Lie.
Sorry, guys. They're trying to do the Joseph Goebbels thing. You know, a lie repeated often enough will eventually be believed. I'm sorry, I'm not believing it. And the rest of the world isn't either. 56% of Americans have been suckered into this. But the rest of the world is not believing it. The United Nations did not believe it. When we got a 12,000-page report back from Saddam about all the weapons that we had sold him, and we redacted thousands of pages and gave it to the redacted, blacked out with a felt marker, and gave what was left over to the United Nations, they were like, "What? This is all you've got?" Let's let Blix go back for another couple of weeks, And in fact, Resolution 1441 that the cons love to cite, UN Resolution 1441, explicitly said no military action could be taken in Iraq by any country under any circumstances until the inspectors, Hans Blick and Arabi, I'm what was his name? Mohammed El Arabi? Anyway, the nuclear guy. Until they said, we have found evidence. We don't have to necessarily actually even find the weapons. We just find evidence of them. And that they represent a threat. But anyhow, back to the point here. Bush says America's task in Iraq is to defeat an enemy. Who's the enemy? Saddam is gone. Al-Qaeda was not there in the first place. There was this one guy with one leg who had gone a couple of years ago to Iraq to get medical treatment, and probably Saddam didn't even know he was there. Yes, there was this little training camp up in the north in the Kurdish region near the border with Iran that was affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they were there. And you know who they were protected by? The United States of America! They were in the no-fly zone. Saddam couldn't even get to them. Anyhow, so who's the enemy? What we have here now is what we have seen over and over and over again in countries all over the world that we in the United States confronted ourselves in 1776. We have people saying, this is our nation. We will fight our own battles, even if it means that we end up with a civil war amongst us. As in the 1860s here in the United States. This is ours, thank you very much. Yeah, it was great you got rid of Saddam. He would have died eventually. We would have taken care of him. Or maybe not, who knows? I mean, some dictators hang on for a long time. The reality is, however, that dictators around the world over the last 100 years have been dropping like flies. In the last 100 years, over 100 countries have moved toward democracy. None of them at the barrel of a gun. In fact, usually when you go in at the barrel of a gun, like we did in Iran with the Shah, you end up setting things backwards. But the neocons never get this. So here's Bush. You know, our terrorist enemies have a vision that guides and explains all their varied acts of murder. Well, yeah, now that we have not even bothered to this day to seal the borders of Iraq, which were sealed before. You may have some, quote, foreign fighters, end quote, coming in there. But, you know, the curious thing to me, where are they on TV? Don't you think that if the Pentagon had found even one Saudi or foreigner who was clearly identified with Al-Qaeda, that they'd be parading him on TV? Now, you got these guys who beheaded Nicholas Berg. They claim that they're, maybe. So five guys. Okay, we've got five guys now in the country. We let them in. And now, not only this, now we are embracing the militias that were just, you know, a couple of months ago our enemies. They're shooting at Americans. This article in today's New York Times by Dexter Filkins. With only weeks to go until an Iraqi government takes over, American officials have failed to disarm the tens of thousands of fighters and private militias deployed almost exclusively along ethnic and religious lines. In the 15 months since the fall of Saddam Hussein, American officials have declared repeatedly that they would disband the private militias. But with sharp deterioration of the security situation in recent months, American officials appear to have resigned themselves to working with militias in Fallujah, Baghdad, and elsewhere. We are engaged in delicate negotiations with these guys that were shooting at us last week. Uh, It's in Fallujah, the scene of deadly fighting. Last month, American commanders agreed to set up an Iraqi security force composed almost entirely of former members of Mr. Hussein's Republican Guard and anti-American guerrillas. It is incredible. 1-866-889-8894. Your thoughts on this? I got some thoughts from Howard Dean on this. I want to share with you in just a minute. Kodak is in North Carolina. Hey, Kodak, we got about three quarters of a minute here, although I can hang on if you need. What's up? Welcome to the show. Whoops, got to turn you up. There you go.
Yeah, I would like to be held over. But the thing that I've noticed is that there are no more foreign fighters that they mention in the main press. They are all outsiders, men. And I thought he only had a little tiny band of rebels, but they seem to be in the north and south, Fallujah.
Well, it started out that way. It started out that way. But see, he's, you know, people are rallying around him. And I, you know, it's a terrible analogy to make, but people are rallying around him the way they rallied around George Washington. They're saying, this is our country, guys. We will fight for it. Hang on just a second there, Kodak. I'll let you make your final point. It's 20 minutes after the hour. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
Pine River, Michigan, where the abandoned Velsicol plant leaks cancer-causing chemicals into the water. It's a danger neighbors will be living with for years to come. The Bush administration says polluters no longer have to pay to clean up the mess they leave behind. Taxpayers do. That means less money, fewer cleanups, and more families left at risk. Mr. President, there is a better way. Make polluters pay. Protect our kids and communities.
The war they are in has been declared over by the same man who lied them into it. Their reward? Combat pay cut in half. $1.5 billion cut to their family housing. $20 billion cut to military health care. No health care for reservists.
Lancers, bring them on.
Thousands wounded, hundreds dead, and no end in sight. If we support our troops, why can't Bush? Or is this what they mean when they say, an army of one?
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, 15 $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the ToonTracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the Pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original ToonTracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.toontrackersystems.com. www.toontrackersystems.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
In the year 2000, the Democrats won the election. But Bush and the Republicans could take the rejection. They counted the votes in a...
And welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Live coast to coast, Kodak in North Carolina. One of our Sirius Radio listeners was in Raleigh, North Carolina today. Are you on the road, Kodak, or are you at home?
Well, I live in the state of North Carolina, and like I said, I bought a new truck. It's a dump truck, so I'm home every night now.
Okay, great. So what? So you had a second point you wanted to make?
Yes, my other point was I always like to call when I have some positive information or spreading form in which I've heard. Yesterday on C-SPAN, it was the Citizens Debate Committee, and since I don't get your entire program, I don't know if you talked about it or not, but what they are presenting is a forum in which the presidential candidates can get together. They've already set up the venues in the schools and already have a format together, but what they're starting is the grassroots involvement of people in order to make this thing come about.
You really think Bush will show up for a debate?
Well, but the point that they were making about that, if they have just one of the major candidates show up, they will have the debate. Yeah. Whether or not Bush will show up, that didn't seem to be the most important aspect. Just so in which there's a form in which these, Senator McClain so eloquently expressed, that at least these other issues have an opportunity to be addressed. It's what's more important, more so than having Bush show up there.
Well, that's great. I was unfamiliar with it. Thanks for raising that, Kodak. I'll keep an eye out on it.
And one way in which they encourage everyone to get involved is that, you know, we at our local level start getting people involved and making them aware of that. And one thing I've come up with is, and they also said, is using flyers in order to spread the disinformation.
Sure.
Also, if you go to your Kinko's or your local copier center, you can sometimes get a discount as a nonprofit organization. So that's something that people can look into.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Very good.
Your show as usual.
Okay, thanks, Kodak. Great to hear from you. Do good. 27 minutes after the hour, Jeff in Toledo, Ohio, first-time caller listening on Sirius. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing, Tom?
I am great, but I'll get better. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, just to let you know, I'm a Republican, and no hidden agendas here. But I wanted to talk with you. I heard you say on your show that you don't buy into the notion that others believe that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Is that right?
The statements that were being made right up to the run-up to the war, and in fact, since then, by and large, now, of course, there have been a few exceptions, were basically... You know, yeah, we know that back in the 80s, George Bush and Don Rumsfeld sold him all this stuff. We know he used it against the Iraqis. Bill Clinton, back in 1998, after Scott Ritter had been in there for almost a year, had come to, you know, that he and Ritter had come to the conclusion that the vast majority of it had been wiped out, and Ritter had identified five buildings where he thought that Saddam was hiding stuff. Clinton pulled the inspectors out and bombed those five buildings into smithereens. And at that point, there was a pretty good consensus that he may have some stuff floating around, but it doesn't represent a threat to us or anybody else. And that's what the world was saying. They were saying, you know, show us the proof.
Okay. Hey, if I could I read a few quotes to you here?
Why don't you just, we've only got about a minute left. Why don't you just tell me about it? What do you want to say?
I was just saying, I have a list of quotes in front of me from prominent Democrats, a few of them from John Kerry.
Oh, sure. All those guys believe the lies that the Bush administration was putting out. I mean, you know, John Kerry right in the front of the list, you know. There was a lot of Americans, a lot of Democrats, and I'm not here to represent the Democrats, by the way. There's a lot of people, a lot of Americans, a lot of Democrats, and a lot of people around the world who actually, after this disinformation campaign that this administration put on, this 6-month dog and pony show, you know, where going before the UN in line, and people came to believe there was stuff that was there. Particularly American politicians, but not around the world. Not around the world. The rest of the world was saying no, and that's why they're not there now.
I have quotes from President Clinton from 1998, and you're saying that it's just the Bush administration that put out this information.
That was before the bombing. It was before the bombing. It's Tom Hartman, 29 minutes past the hour.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I will propose a package of benefit changes affecting future benefits, not benefits already earned, that will reduce the liability by more than $900 million. And we will be, our employees will have more secure pensions than they have in other places. And our city will be stronger because we did it in a manner that did not cut basic services or raise taxes.
Houston Mayor Bill White says city employees retire too early and receive excessively generous benefits. Workers say the city of Houston made a promise it now wants to break. Proposition 1 on Saturday's ballot allows the mayor to change benefits packages employees thought were protected by the state. 73% of Texas voters ratified a constitutional amendment last year protecting municipal employee pensions from market fluctuation. At a local Carpenters Union Hall, which served as anti-Prop 1 headquarters, a 35-year maintenance employee, Don Roberts, was one of the dozen city workers making last-minute phone calls to voters. Roberts said, when it comes to the budget deficit, Mayor White's not telling the truth.
And if they can afford to give the buyers of the Enron building $3 million tax break, they can afford to put $3 million in the pension system.
Don Roberts says reconciliation is unlikely because of a fundamental difference between how the mayor and the workers view the city.
I don't know what his agenda is. All I know is Bill White is a businessman, and I think he's looking at this city as trying to make a profit because he's profit-oriented. And the city of Houston is not a profit organization. The city of Houston is a service. It's a service. We will always be in the service to the citizens of Houston, period.
But Bill White isn't the only mayor with a business approach to city government. With cities around the country facing similar pension crises, Houston Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee said she's afraid the local vote could set a precedent.
Because if we are successful in the fourth largest city in the nation to undermine workers' rights, it is only a green light for cities and states and other municipalities around the nation who might be dissatisfied with the protection they now have. Now, keep in mind, they would like to get rid of this protection, some of them, maybe. And so they might see this as that potential of going into these funds as a potential cash resource for city services. And I believe that if this happens in Houston, then other municipalities and states may get an idea, oh, here's how to eliminate workers' rights. We'll just go straight to the public. We'll tell them about increased taxes. We'll tell them about decreased services, and we'll have the kind of vote that we would need.
For the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Erica McDonald in Houston.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's the, what is the Meji Army is all painted black. All these guys wearing black. They've been our enemy. We were going to put this guy in jail. Now we discover today the Bush administration is negotiating with them to take over security for several of the cities where we've been fighting them. This is tragic. Jeff in Toledo, one last point. I appreciate your call. I really do. I'm sorry we ran out of time. In fact, you're welcome to call back if you wanted to continue with us if you want. But here's the bottom line. Let's say that Bill Clinton believed, even after Ritter had done all of his inspections, and we've had Scott Ritter on this program, he's laid the whole thing out. We heard Madeleine Albright's testimony before the 9/11 Commission. Let's say that Bill Clinton actually believed, after he went in and he bombed those facilities in Iraq, that there might still be something left. He still did not lead us to war in Iraq. He did not lead to the death of 804 of our citizens. You know, here in the state, in the People's Republic of Vermont, here in the state of Vermont, in the last 2 years, we've had one person murdered. We've lost five of our citizens in Iraq. For what? For what? 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Bob in Alabama listening on Sirius. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I got a comment to make about John Kerry's campaign.
Okay.
He has a problem, you know, with if Ralph Nader runs against him.
Oh, he's got a lot of problems, but yeah.
I think maybe the one way to eliminate that problem is to offer Ralph Nader a chance to be vice president.
Yeah. frankly, I think, Bob, you make a good point in kind of a practical, theoretical world. But the reality is that I think if he chose Ralph Nader as vice president, the middle of America, you know, the average swing voter, as it were, that maybe 10, 15, 20, may some say as high as 30% of Americans who really don't make up their mind until just before the election, they'd go, Nader? He's too extreme for us. You know, because most people don't actually know Nader's positions on the issues. Most people aren't such activists. So I think practically speaking, that wouldn't work. But I think what is going to happen is a lot of people, right up until the day of the election, are going to be telling pollsters, I'll vote for Nader. I mean, people who actually know Nader's positions and agree with them. And by the way, I'd have to say, I know Nader's positions, and I largely agree with them. But I wouldn't tell a pollster I'd vote for him, but I think a lot of people would. But when it gets right down to it and they walk into the ballot box, I mean, I voted for Ralph Nader 4 years ago. This year, it ain't going to happen. And Vermont's a safe state, and it's still not going to happen. I am not going to vote for Ralph Nader again. I think he's a political suicide bomber. He's become one of these guys with a fanatic look in his eye, and it concerns me. So that's my concern, Bob. But thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you. I do appreciate it. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Dave in Eureka, California. Dave, what did you think of what do you want to call that thing last night that George Bush did on cable TV?
Oh, he put on a credible performance. On that last caller, though, you know, I really would myself like to see Nader brought in somehow. He would lend an air of credibility that's lacking right now in the Democrats. But
oh, make him head of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Maybe. But I am plagued by a mystery that must trouble you, too, because much of the world right now, myself included, believes that we have a seriously disturbed character in the White House, probably character disordered, maybe mentally ill, sociopathic, psychopathic, somebody that's able to rape the wealth of the middle class and the poor and stuff it in the pockets of his rich cohorts that put him there, and he's able to justify all this through his religious fanaticism. Most of the world is seeing this view, and they have been telling it to one Tony Blair, who I see as a pretty highly credible, well-conscienced, and very sharp individual who is talking the party line. And what in the world must be driving this man, I don't know, but everybody, even the presidents of Spain and France, are pretty much questioning what the hell brought you into that bed. You know?
Yeah, well, here, you know, part of the situation is, you know, I think that we vilify George Bush at our own peril. First of all, the problem is not George Bush. George Bush is the president. He's not the problem. The problem is a philosophy, a thought virus, this infectious utopian belief that conservative economics and muscle-bound international force, the neocon idea that you've got to terrify the rest of the world or you're not safe, and the libertarian Ayn Randian idea that if you turn governance over to corporations, ultimately everything will be well. These two combined fantasies. Neither one of them have ever been successfully demonstrated in the world, and in fact, every time either one of them have been attempted, they have failed. But these two fantasies are driving the philosophy of this administration. Whether George Bush is bright enough to buy into them on any kind of ideological ground, frankly, I don't even want to make a judgment. But there are a bunch of people around him and a whole lot of corporations who's in corporate leaders, you know, the Business Roundtable and whatnot, who stand, you know, John Snow is a former president, who stand to benefit from his acting this out. And it's not just Bush. It's Bush, it's Hastert, it's Trent Lott, it's Bill Frist. I mean, look at what Frist is saying here. And Denny Hastert attacking John McCain. I mean, you know, it's like they're starting to eat their young, you know, or eat their own. You're right. It's dysfunctional. It's a problem. And not to mention Rumsfeld.
So why does Tony Blair go along with it?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not British. I don't read all the British press, and I couldn't tell you. I got a couple of guesses. I think the main guess is that Blair thought that he could moderate George Bush. I think that he thought that he could build a relationship with George Bush that would make Bush a little less crazy and a little less dangerous in the world, and that ultimately England, at least since World War II, has had their fate so inextricably intertwined with ours that, I mean, they're still dancing the dance about do we join the common currency of the European Union. But they're very much in bed with us. And increasingly, because of this huge trade deficit in the United States, current accounts deficit, it's called. That is, we are buying more than we're selling to the world. What ends up happening is that countries outside the United States, and England is one of the largest, one of the five largest, end up with these huge surpluses of dollars, and in order to use those, they buy up American companies. And so you've got British concerns, you know, British Petroleum probably being the most visible, but a lot of them that are a lot smaller and less visible, who own huge sectors of America. So I think Blair just, you know, for practical and strategic reasons, thought that that was the right thing to do. And, you know, it's, you know, time is already telling. I mean, Blair's credibility is in the tank. It's just absolutely in the tank. 1-800-886-8894. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number. Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, what did you think of last night?
Well, it was an interesting spectacle. Actually, as far as presentation is concerned, he's looked far worse, but he's never looked as bad content-wise, I think, as he did. One thing, the only new thing we learned was that they're going to raise Abu Ghraib prison to the ground only after they build a new Supermax prison. I wonder who gets the contract to build the Supermax prison.
I'll bet you $50 it's Halliburton.
Making lemonade out of lemons, you know.
Yeah. They just got the contract to enlarge our concentration camp in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, well, why not? They know what they're doing over there. Yeah. You know, my basic point in that whole mess last night, America cannot afford to appoint a government that's going to immediately turn around and say, stay Americans, we want you to help us, and maintain any credibility. It didn't work when the Soviets put Ceausescu in. Nobody took him seriously.
Or Tito.
And nobody's going to take, you know, they're going to be looked at as puppets.
Yeah.
Basically. You cannot end an occupation if you still occupy the country.
Yeah. That's absolutely the bottom line. And now we're confronted with the situation where we had Saddam, to quote Colin Powell, in February of 2001, as Secretary of State, a month after he became Secretary of State of the United States, February 2001, we have Saddam in a box. He represents no threat to us or even his neighbors.
Yes.
And now we have let him out of the box. We tossed him into jail. But what we've opened Pandora's box. And you know, all the king's horses and all the king's men, it's going to take a lot more than that to put it back together. Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let me share with you Howard Dean's take on this. He was interviewed this morning on Vermont Public Radio. And here's a couple of things he had to say. I thought he was very pithy and very to the point here.
I did hear the speech. There was no real new ground. This was I now understand why the networks chose not to cover it. There was really no news. It was essentially an attempt by the president to get out from under his sinking poll ratings. And I thought that the speech was alarming, to be honest with you. I think this is a president who is losing his grasp of his ability to run the country and run the war, panicked by falling poll results, clutching at straws. Some of the things that he said were stunning.
Stunning, absolutely stunning, Howard Dean says. And in fact, he continues.
One of the things that he was stunning is making a virtue out of the fact that he claimed that he was going to give the commanders in Iraq any number of troops, whatever they needed. Now, when we went to war, General Shinseki testified that we needed 225,000 troops minimum, and Rumsfeld and the president all scoffed at it and refused to give him the troops. So in the this is sort of the propagandist tradition of the Bush White House, he's now attempting to make a silk's purse out of a sow's ear by taking the position that he rejected when we went into the war and trying to make it into a political virtue. I think this administration is in very deep trouble, and I think the country is in very deep trouble, because we have someone at the helm in this country who I think I now begin to question whether he's capable of running the country.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, this is, I want to... Nancy Pelosi said a couple of days ago, this guy is incompetent. He never successfully ran a business. He got bailed out by the bin Laden family in one of his oil companies. He got bailed out by friends of his daddy's in another one of his oil companies. He got bailed out by the taxpayers of Texas with his Texas Rangers, $24 million they gave him. I mean, it's just, and now he can't successfully run a nation. It's a tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. And in the meantime, we have spent 40 months, 800 and some odd lives, thousands and thousands, American lives, tens of thousands, perhaps 20s of thousands, innocent civilian Iraqi lives, not to mention the combatants, probably the vast majority of whom would just as soon have stayed home. But Saddam had a draft, you see. And $200 billion. Now what? Because George Bush Sr.'s face was on the floor of the main hotel in Baghdad, and he had to walk over his face to get into the hotel. Because is this some kind of blood feud, or was it because Dick Cheney's comment? Let us not forget. Cheney's,
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserves, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Or, was it just some sort of obsession like Laura had in her early years, Laura Bush?
When I was just a little girl, I knew I'd marry a president.
Oh, yes, isn't that wonderful?
I had a song then going through my head, but no idea what it meant. Get Saddam, Saddam.
Oh, yes, get Saddam.
I felt that would be the key to national unity.
Oh, and how wrong it was.
Get Saddam, Saddam.
Yeah, so what could we have done with that $200 billion? The song continues. Anyhow, 3.8 million Americans joined the uninsured rolls during the 40 months that we've been doing this song and dance. 3.8 million Americans have lost their insurance. 2.2 million Americans have watched their jobs disappear. The new jobs that are replacing them pay 25% less than the jobs that are gone. What could we have done with the $200 billion that we have allocated? Much of it we have already spent for Iraq. We could have built 20,000 new schools in the United States. 20,000 new schools. Think how many cities, you get down to like city number 200 is like Terre Haute, Indiana. 20,000 schools. Think what we could have done. We could have hired 4 million new teachers. 4 million new teachers with the money that we've spent on Iraq. We could have given every child in America, full health insurance, dental, eye, everything, for 8 years. Just, you know, as a few examples of what we could have done with that money. But instead, you know, it's get Saddam. Yes, indeed. The Bush flip-flopper in chief. I want to share this with you right after the break. For some reason, whenever I read this thing, I get all these emails from people saying, where did you get that? What is it? I want to know about it. The flip-flopper in chief, George W., coming up in just a moment. 10 minutes before the hour, this is the Tom Hartman radio program. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the founding fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation, free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
Environmentally friendly products are gaining in the marketplace, but high prices are sometimes an obstacle. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Consumers can buy recycled paper, organic foods, and wind-powered electricity, but green products still account for less than 1% of the overall market. Lisa Masney is a researcher with the Worldwatch Institute.
There hasn't been enough demand yet to really raise the profile of these types of products. But increasingly, I think as consumers demand them, producers are going to be more willing to manufacture them, and then we are going to see growth.
Masney says many environmentally friendly products are a bit pricey.
A lot of green products are more expensive than conventional products. So therefore, you know, the people that are buying them are people that can afford to do so. For example, organic foods, that's another area where we're seeing huge growth.
But much of that growth is concentrated in higher income communities. Still, Masney says organic food prices have been dropping as consumer demand has grown, and other green products will probably follow the same trend. Like many environmentalists, Masney argues that all consumption of goods and services places a burden on the environment. But she says buying green can help cut pollution and save natural resources.
We're not telling people to cut back on everything they buy, but what we're suggesting is that at least one step they can take is buy differently. And I think that that's an encouraging message because it's a little more positive than telling people that they have to just stop consuming altogether.
Masney advises consumers to choose a green alternative whenever possible. The World Watch Institute has an online guide to help you do that. You can find it on its website at worldwatch.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Mr. Speaker, Vice President Cheney, USA, members of Congress, distinguished citizens and fellow citizens. Every year, by law and by custom, we meet here to threaten the world.
Like stars in the night.
And welcome back.
The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines.
Yeah, and on it goes. George W. Welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Broadcasting live all around the planet, actually. Coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations down from outer space on the Sirius satellite and beaming all over Earth. On radiopower.org in White Rose Society, 1-866-889-8894. Barry in Madison, Wisconsin, another Sirius listener. Hey, we're getting a lot of calls from Sirius today. How are you, Barry? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just wish you was on for 3 hours instead of the one on Sirius. But
well, the other 2 hours are played between 1 and 3 in the morning. If you want to, you know,
okay,
stay up.
I'll do that. little town. I live in Wyoming. Little town. I live in the little school district is having a hard time coming up with $50,000 for air conditioning and new heating system in the school. And I would imagine that. Architectural plans in for the new prison in Iraq would buy a whole lot of air conditioners for small schools in this country. I guess Iraqis are more important than American school children.
Well, not only that, you know, under the Iraqi Constitution, we are right now paying for free health care for all Iraqis.
Uh-huh.
All Iraqis are guaranteed Social Security. All Iraqis are guaranteed free education, including college education. And it's actually happening. I mean, this is one of the things that the Bush administration is saying, aren't we wonderful? Look what we're doing. We're actually paying for these things. And yet your school in Madison, Wisconsin? Can't buy
a little town in Wyoming.
I'm just driving
through Madison.
I see. Can't buy an air conditioner. An air conditioner. Welcome to the wonderful world of neocon foreign policy combined with pseudo-conservative economics. It is absolutely nuts. They are driving this country off the edge of the cliff. We've got to do something about it in November. Get active, Barry. Get out there. Spread the word. And thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to us there on Sirius Satellite Radio also. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Do good, Barry. Thanks for the call. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where smart people get their news.
It's time. We must offer every child in America 3 nuclear missiles.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. The old State of the Union address.
Date, we have arrested or otherwise dealt with 400 billion key commanders of Al-Qaeda, which is enlisting tens of thousands of new volunteers across America.
They include a man who directed logistics and funding for the CIA.
You have been listening to the One Tom of them is Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. When the head of the not-for-profit New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, stepped down last September, details of his shocking severance pay package were disclosed. Now, after a four-month-long investigation, the New York State Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, has filed a civil lawsuit against the former executive seeking to recover over $100 million of Grasso's pay package. The lawsuit charges all of the compensation directors that voted unanimously in favor of this contract were appointed by and under the supervision of Grasso, who charges that the stock exchange still owes him $48 million.
Commercial aviation workers at factories owned by Boeing in Kansas and Oklahoma are a bit edgy after finding out the company is looking to sell the facilities, which employ some 8,500 people. No word on whether or not a sale would mean job losses, but unions at the plants believe so. Potential buyers may begin touring the facilities next month, and Boeing hopes to complete a sale before the end of the year.
A new report released by the nonpartisan U.S. General Accounting Office says the Bush administration violated federal law by sending videos out to press offices that contained made-to-look-real newscasts, complete with actors portraying reporters. Federal law prohibits taxpayer money for use in the production of propaganda, and the GAO found that in the White House videos, viewers could not tell the message came from the government and that the actors playing reporters were paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A study released yesterday by the United Nations International Labor Organization finds nearly half the world's population is deprived of internationally recognized rights on the job, most notably the rights to collectively organize and bargain with employers. The abuses are worst in developing countries, and especially those that have set up special development zones for global trade. In such places, workers are regularly intimidated for suggesting union representation. The report also notes there is no evidence to suggest that giving workers the freedom to associate and bargain collectively hurts a country's economy. This finding confirms conclusions reached in a similar report released last year by the World Bank.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to a new report released by Washington-based researchers at Good Jobs First, Walmart stores are getting rich at taxpayers' expense. In the past 10 years, Walmart has received more than $1 billion in state and local government subsidies for its 2,900 stores and 91 distribution centers in the United States. The subsidies range from tax refunds and job training to road construction to the stores.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Perhaps you remember that only a couple of years ago, George W. was in a public tizzy over the multi-billion-dollar financial scandals pouring out of the executive suites of Wall Street and America's largest corporations. Ripped-off investors were howling for blood, and the stories of corporate corruption were on the front page. So George, reformer man Bush, leapt to the rescue. He loudly demanded tough new rules to govern greedy CEOs, and he picked William Donaldson to serve as the new top cop on the Wall Street beat. 2 years later, where's reformer man? There he is, behind the scenes at the SEC. But he's taken off his reformer cape. Now he's quietly trying to undercut his top cop and to water down those tough new governance rules he once demanded. Donaldson naively thought that Bush really wanted to crack down on corporate finagling. So he has proposed several new rules, including one that would allow shareholders to choose a few independent board members, rather than having all of the corporation's board handpicked by the CEO. Oh, the shrieks of horror that this caused among CEOs! Hence, the Business Roundtable, the lobbying front for CEOs of America's largest corporations, has swarmed the SEC. Its lobbyists are demanding a substitute rule that guts Donaldson's reform, turning the shareholders' vote for independent board members into a sham. George the Reformer is siding with the CEOs, even dispatching his Treasury Secretary, John Snow, a former leader of the Business Roundtable, by the way, to lobby Donaldson and other SEC officials to vote for the sham. We need not be surprised, since Bush has been busy raising millions of dollars in campaign funds from these same CEOs. This is Jim Hightower saying, Donaldson, however, has not yet buckled to Bush and the lobbyists. To buck him up, call his office and ask that he enact real reform by supporting shareholders, not CEOs. 202-942-0100.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well Patch, it brings you back to Well Patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of Well Patch. Well Patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a Well Patch.
Well Patch, it brings you back to Well Patch.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 7 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Broadcasting live from behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone high up in the mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. George Bush, flip-flopper-in-chief. I mentioned this just before the top of the last hour. And I know the chat room wouldn't let me get away with not doing it. I've got to share this with you. Here we go. Some of the more conspicuous flip-flops, of course, the most recent being George Bush adopting John Kerry's plan for how to get out of Iraq, at least in part, doing it poorly, but doing it to some extent last night. But number one, Department of Homeland Security, quote, so creating a cabinet office doesn't solve the problem. You still have agencies within the federal government that have to be coordinated, so the answer is that creating a cabinet post doesn't solve anything. But then in June, Bush supports the Department of Homeland Security. So tonight I ask the Congress to join me in creating a single permanent department with an overriding urgent mission, securing the homeland of America and protecting the American people. Number two, weapons of mass destruction. He was interviewed in Poland on May 29th. He says, we found the weapons of mass destruction. We found biological laboratories. For those who say we haven't found the band. March 23rd, 02, he said, I believe strongly that if we promote trade, and when we promote trade, it will help workers on both sides of this issue. However, on September 19th of 03, The Washington Post reports in our decision, largely driven by his political advisors, President Bush set aside his free trade principles. Flip-flopping on the environment. 9:29, just before the election, if elected, George Bush will work to establish mandatory reduction targets for emissions of four main pollutants: sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, mercury, and carbon dioxide. However, once he got in, he wrote a letter to Chuck Hagel on March 13th in which he said, "I do not believe, however, that the government should impose on power plants mandatory emission reductions for carbon dioxide." The Weapons of Mass Destruction Commission. Bush resists an outside investigation of WMD failure January 29th, 04. This is the New York Times. The White House immediately turned aside the calls from David Kaye. Remember where David Kaye said, "We were all wrong, we got to get to the bottom of this"? Immediately turned aside the calls from Kaye and many Democrats for an immediate outside investigation seeking to head off any new wide-ranging election year inquiry that might go beyond reports already being assembled by congressional committees and the CIA. But then, a week later, February 6th, 04, quote from George Bush, "Today, by executive order, I am creating an independent commission chaired by Governor and former Senator Chuck Robb, Judge Lawrence Silberstein, to look at American intelligence capabilities, especially intelligence about weapons of mass destruction," end quote. That was the WMD commission. Have you heard much about that? Probably not. It's there, it's running, but it's like... But what about the 9/11 Commission? Flip-flop number 7. On May 23rd, CBS News said, quote, "President Bush took a few minutes during his trip to Europe Thursday to voice his opposition to establishing a special commission to probe how the government dealt with terror warnings before 9/11. Well, now we know why he didn't want us to know how he dealt with them, because when he got the presidential daily briefing on August 6th of 2001 that said Bin Laden determined to target inside the United States and said that he was, you know, scouting buildings in New York City, Bush said, well, let's stay on vacation for a few more weeks. And when we're done with that, if they haven't hit us yet, let's go down to Florida, where my brother can put the whole state on a state of emergency for some odd reason. Well, anyhow... May 23rd, 02, he opposes the creation of a 9/11 commission. 9/20, 02, 4 months later, President Bush said to this ABC News, President Bush said today he now supports establishing an independent commission to investigate the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Bush flip-flop number 8, time extension for the 9/11 commission. Washington Post, January 19th, President Bush and House Speaker J. Dennis Hastert, Reich winger from Illinois, have decided to oppose granting more time to an independent commission investigating the 9/11 attacks. Have decided to oppose granting more time. And then on February 4th, which is what, a week and a half later, CNN reports, the White House announced Wednesday its support for the request from the commission investigating the 9/11 attacks for more time to complete its work. Flip-flop number 9, 1 hour time limit for the 9/11 Commission testimony. Bush limits testimony. I don't have to read you the whole thing. You know, Bush said he would give 1 hour, and he had to be able to hold Dick Cheney's hand. That was on February 26th of this year. On March 10th, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, he says, Scotty McClellan, beam me down, Scotty. The president's going to answer all the questions they want to raise. Nobody's watching the clock. Gay marriage, Bush flip-flop number 10. On February 15th, quote, the state can do what they want to do. Don't try to trap me in this state's issue like you're trying to get me into. This is on Larry King Live. In other words, gay marriage is up to the states. But then on February 24th, 04, today I call upon the Congress to promptly pass and to send to the states for ratification an amendment to our Constitution. These strict constructionists, aren't they wonderful? The Constitution's perfect just as it is. No. We want an amendment to our Constitution defining and protecting marriage as a union of a man and a woman as husband and wife. You know, the Constitution does not limit our rights. It limits the rights of government. The only time that the Constitution has ever been amended to limit the rights of human beings, to the best of my knowledge, I suppose you could argue that Plessy versus Ferguson did to some extent, but the big one, of course, was Prohibition. And a couple of years later, we said, oops. What the Constitution does is it limits the powers of government. Number of Bush flip-flop number 11, nation building. Bush opposes nation building. If we don't stop extending our troops all around the world in nation building missions, then we're going to have a serious problem coming down the road, said George Bush on October 3rd, 00. On March 6th, 03, quote, we will be changing the regime of Iraq for the good of the Iraqi people. We're going to build that nation. Yes, indeed. Number 12, Saddam, Al-Qaeda link. Bush says, as the original one, Bush says it's impossible to distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam. On 9/25/02, he says, you can't distinguish between Al-Qaeda and Saddam when you talk about the war on terror. And you notice last night how he said, Iraq is now the central battleground in the war on terror. I'm sorry. As George Bush himself said,
we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
We've had no evidence. Let me just repeat that for you one more time. This was September 17th in response to a direct question from the press. Did Saddam Hussein have anything to do with 9/11?
We've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Yeah. Flip-flopping on the Saddam Al-Qaeda link. Although, again, last night, he tried to gull the faux news listeners. You know, the majority of people who watch faux news believe that Saddam was behind 9/11. The majority of everybody else in America has figured out Saddam had nothing to do with 9/11, that this war in Iraq was an optional war. It had nothing to do with terrorism. Nothing to do with terrorism. It had to do with oil. It had to do with empire. It had to do with stabilizing the Middle East, at least the oil-producing region of it. I mean, if he'd really wanted to stable the Middle East, why not create peace between Israel and the Palestinians? But no, this is... And it had to do with settling old scores, showing daddy. Well, Bush flip-flop number 13, UN resolution. Bush vows to have the UN vote no matter what. He said no matter what the whip count is on March 6th, 03. We're calling for the vote. We want to see people stand up and say their opinion and what their opinion is about Saddam Hussein and the utilities of the United Nations Security Council. And so you bet it's time for people to show their cards, let the world know where they stand when it comes to Saddam. 2 weeks later, he said, well, actually, the Washington Post said, at a National Security Council meeting convened at the White House at 8:55 a.m., Bush finalized the decision to withdraw the resolution from consideration and prepared to deliver an address to the nation that had already been written. That address, of course, being the one in which he said, guys, we are coming to get you. We are going into Iraq. And by the way, those of you in Iraq,
your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
Yes, do not. Do not, under any circumstances. UN resolution flip-flop, number 13. Number 14, flip-flop, Bush flip-flop, involvement in the Palestinian conflict. Bush opposes summits. Early on in his presidency, he said, I don't want to get involved in that stuff. It's sticky. It's messy. Well, we've tried summits in the past, as you may remember. It wasn't all that long ago where a summit was called, nothing happened. As a result, we had significant intifada in the area. End quote. April 5th, 02. May 23rd, 03. Suddenly, Bush supports summits. I'm committed toward working toward peace in the Middle East. If a meeting advances progress between two sides living side by side in peace, I will strongly consider a meeting. Flip-flop number 15, campaign finance. On February 28th, George W. Bush opposes McCain-Feingold as an infringement on free expression. On February 27th, 02, however, he signed it into law and said, this bill improves the current system of financing for federal campaigns, and therefore I have signed it into law. So a small collection of flip-flops from our flip-flopper-in-chief, George W. Bush. This one courtesy of the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. You can find it on their website. Although there's numerous other ones all over the Internet, there's just piles of them. This guy's been on every side of every issue. Incredible. And then they say, well, John Kerry is the most liberal guy in the Senate, most consistent liberal. If he's consistent, how can he be? Anyhow, you know, this is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A new study in the Journal of Urban Economics found that city dwellers living close to a National Football League franchise pay higher rent and property taxes for that privilege. On average, a resident in an NFL city pays $184 a year, or 8% more than those without a football team. And researchers found total property taxes were about $50 million a year higher.
During the past 3 years, it's true George W. Bush has created more jobs. Unfortunately, they were created in places like China. Bush's policies have encouraged the loss of nearly 3 million jobs. He supported tax breaks to corporations that ship jobs overseas. George W. Bush is taking our country in the wrong direction. It's time to make America work for every American.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he Nureyev? Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Hello, trouble. Come on in. You talk about heartaches. Where in the world you been? I ain't had the miseries since you've been gone.
This is going to be Georgia's song in November, I'm telling you. Welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman here. How do you feel about this administration's looting our children's future and destroying America's reputation around the world? How do you feel about it? 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Bill in Santa Fe, what are your thoughts on all this?
Well, Tom, it could hardly be worse, it seems like. I saw a Meet the Press Sunday morning, and Congressman Kucinich was on, and another congressman was on. I forgot his name.
Yeah, I saw it, too.
But this guy, he supposedly had a photo of a found weapon of mass destruction from Iraq.
Right.
And it looked like something dug out of the ground that had been there for 50 years.
Yeah, it was a piece of an artillery shell. You know, the one that was turned into an improvised explosive device and blew up by the side of a truck. And in all probability, the Iraqis who had probably dug it out of the ground, like you said, didn't have any idea that at one time it had sarin in it. Obviously, it had decayed to the point. I mean, sarin's only good for 5 or 6 years. Uh-huh. And we sold him that stuff. I mean, Rumsfeld sold him that stuff back in, what, 87, was it? And uh-huh. So, you know, it's... But anyway, yeah, you were saying. I interrupted you. Sorry.
So there's nothing to that story as a weapon of mass destruction, then?
Well, define a weapon of mass destruction. I mean, you know, the sarin gas in a large quantity. I mean, if I had a few drops of it, I could probably kill two or three people. If I had a Colt 38, I could probably kill four, five, six people. A bullet, is a bullet a weapon of mass destruction? Well, maybe on a machine gun. Is a little bit of sarin gas a weapon of mass destruction? Well, in tiny quantities, no, I don't think so. A weapon of mass destruction, as was defined by this administration, I mean, keep in mind, we were told explicitly by George Bush. We were told explicitly by George Bush.
The evidence indicates that Iraq is reconstituting its nuclear weapons program. Saddam Hussein has held numerous meetings with Iraqi nuclear scientists, a group he calls his nuclear mujahideen, his nuclear holy warriors, facing clear evidence of peril. We cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun, that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
So, you know, an old dried-out shell that's got a few remnants of sarin gas in it is a little different, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an ongoing protest here. It's every Friday, and it's been going on for like a year and a half now against Mr. Bush, and I proudly attend that. You know, I'll do what I can.
That's great. In Santa Fe, where is it located?
It's Sirius and St. Francis every Friday at noon.
Cool. Great. Good on you. Good on you, Bill. Thanks for the call, and thanks for showing up there. I appreciate it.
Yeah, right on.
Okay, it's the Tom Hartman radio program, 27 minutes past the hour. Let's take a call from Kip in Santa Fe. Hey, Kip, how's life?
Hello.
What's up?
How are you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better.
Well, I really enjoy your show, and we got to keep guys like you on the air. I'm also in Santa Fe, as you said, and I also go to the Sirius and St. Francis demonstration every Friday. It's great. We're getting more and more horns honking at us every week, so yeah. Honking for us, shall we say.
There you go.
Listen, I had this question, two questions. Would you repeat slowly the website where we can get that nice summary of Bush flip-flops? And then the second point that I hope you'll have a little time for is, what's the current status of this Chalabi deal where he's double-dealing with Iran? And
that's a good question.
Bush, some of that information that was the basis of some of those flip-flops.
Yeah. Good question. Kip, number one, AmericanProgress.org, the Center for American Progress. They've got just a pile of stuff on there, including the list of Bush flip-flops that I read on the air. AmericanProgress.org.
AmericanProgress.org. Thanks.
That's right. And with regard to Chalabi, let me rant about that a little bit when we come back from this break. Thanks for the call, Kip. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. We'll get into Mr. Chalabi and what's going on. Is he the victim of a Noriega? Is he, another American puppet, as it were, that we're turning our backs on? Or has he been a double agent all along? Good question. 29 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Hallowell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. When the head of the not-for-profit New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, stepped down last September, details of his shocking severance pay package were disclosed. Now, after a four-month-long investigation, the New York State Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, has filed a civil lawsuit against the former executive seeking to recover over $100 million of Grasso's pay package. The lawsuit charges all of the compensation directors that voted unanimously in favor of this contract were appointed by and under the supervision of Grasso, who charges that the stock exchange still owes him $48 million.
Commercial aviation workers at factories owned by Boeing in Kansas and Oklahoma are a bit edgy after finding out the company is looking to sell the facilities, which employ some 8,500 people. No word on whether or not a sale would mean job losses, but unions at the plants believe so. Potential buyers may begin touring the facilities next month, and Boeing hopes to complete a sale before the end of the year.
A new report released by the nonpartisan U.S. General Accounting Office says the Bush administration violated federal law by sending videos out to press offices that contained made-to-look-real newscasts, complete with actors portraying reporters. Federal law prohibits taxpayer money for use in the production of propaganda, and the GAO found that in the White House videos, viewers could not tell the message came from the government and that the actors playing reporters were paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A study released yesterday by the United Nations International Labor Organization finds nearly half the world's population is deprived of internationally recognized rights on the job, most notably the rights to collectively organize and bargain with employers. The abuses are worst in developing countries, and especially those that have set up special development zones for global trade. In such places, workers are regularly intimidated for suggesting union representation. The report also notes there is no evidence to suggest that giving workers the freedom to associate and bargain collectively hurts a country's economy. This finding confirms conclusions reached in a similar report released last year by the World Bank.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to a new report released by Washington-based researchers at Good Jobs First, Walmart stores are getting rich at taxpayers' expense. In the past 10 years, Walmart has received more than $1 billion in state and local government subsidies for its 2,900 stores and 91 distribution centers in the United States. The subsidies range from tax refunds and job training to road construction to the stores.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Is Jollibee the Nowhere Man? Is Bush the Nowhere Man? Is there a man nowhere? It's Tom Hartman back with you 27 minutes before the hour. An interesting question. Julian Borger in Washington writes in The Guardian today, the British paper. An urgent investigation has been launched in Washington into whether Iran... This is not Iraq. This is Iran. This is the semi-theocratic state. It's fascinating, by the way, what's happening in Iran, because they have a popularly elected parliament and president. Either a president or a prime minister, maybe they have both. I don't recall, but they have a popularly elected parliament that is moving and has been aggressively for the last 8 or 10 years moving toward secular reforms and democracy. And yet their constitution says that what would be for us the Supreme Court is for them this kind of Islamic Supreme Court made up of the mullahs. And they get to veto anything that the people's elected representatives say that they don't like. And so there's this battle going on inside Iran for the heart and soul of Iran. And I read several interviews over the last year of Americans going into Iran, you know, reporters, tourists, whatever, and coming back and saying the Iranian people are among the most pro-American people in the world, oddly, because they don't like the idea of the mullah, of theocracy, of the mullahs running the country, any more than many Americans would like the idea of Judge Moore being on the Supreme Court and saying, okay, we have a court decision here in front of us. The Congress passed a law that says that A, B, and C, right? Gays can get married. Women can get abortions. People can have legal birth control. Yes, that in my lifetime, I remember, you know, what was it? Griswold versus State of Connecticut, 1964. Up until that time, it was a felony in the state of Connecticut for you to have a condom in your bedroom, even if you were married. And can you imagine if, you know, Judge Moore and some of these guys were on the Supreme Court, and they, well, that's it. The Bible says this, or the Pope says it, or whatever. Well, that's what's happened in Iran. And the average Iranians don't like it. So now here's this question. Did Ahmed Chalabi and the Iraqi National Congress, the organization that he created, do two things? And these are very serious charges. Number one, did he give false intelligence to Rumsfeld, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Pearl, and company, and, of course, the CIA, that would lead them to believe that Saddam had, you know, was moments away from creating a mushroom cloud over Manhattan, number one. And, of course, Chalabi I believe it was Face the Nation on Sunday, he said, let me testify before Congress, under oath. I'll tell you what happened. Let me testify under oath before Congress. You think the Bush administration is going to let him do that for 1 minute? Not a chance. But anyhow, that's one of the charges. That he hand-fed them information. Well, what is clear is that he hand-fed them, or that he gave them so-called defectors. One guy was like a waiter in a restaurant where Saddam occasionally showed up. I mean, he gave him so-called defectors who said what we wanted to hear. And of course, the CIA would look at this stuff. I mean, these guys are professionals. They would look at this stuff and they would go, okay, you know, we get 40,000-50,000 tips a day from all over the world, and the vast majority of them are nonsense. It's like every time there's a murder committed in a major American city, there's 30 or 40 people who call to confess to it. There's another 200 or 300 people who call to say that they know it's their next-door neighbor. People in the intelligence community have figured out how to separate truth from BS. And Chalabi was handing these guys over, and the CIA was looking at it and going, no, I don't think so. Don't think so. There were actually a couple of people, I'm misremembering, to use a Bushism, their names at the moment, who actually quit the intelligence community over the manipulation of intelligence leading up to the Iraq War. As you will recall, I'm sure it was big news. So anyhow, Chalabi, you know, of course, he supplied this administration with defectors, and they were well paid, and they apparently said what they obviously knew Don Rumsfeld and what I wanted them to say. Now, was this part of some plot on the part of Chalabi? to get us to overthrow Saddam so that he could become king of Iraq? I would put the probability of that at about 50-50. I mean, here's a guy who is a convicted bank swindler. He's been sentenced to 22 years of hard labor in the country of Jordan. He can't leave Iraq. He goes to any of the other Arab countries that have reciprocal agreements with Jordan, he'll get arrested and sent back and have to serve out his jail sentence. Came to the United States, got in bed with the Bush family. And, of course, on it goes. So, number one, you know, did he participate in feeding phony intelligence to us? Well, maybe. Wouldn't surprise me. But what I can tell you is we should have known better no matter what. What? A guy who's a convicted bank swindler has some guy who used to work as a waiter at a hotel who is telling us that he knows. Come on. You can't blame it on Chalabi. But the Bush administration will, because they have never taken the blame for anything ever. It's just something that isn't done. It's just something that's not done in the Bush administration. You know, it's so number one. And number two, here's the this is now see, Chalabi gets over to Iraq and he's on the governing council and they have a rotating presidency every month, different guy. Now, there's a couple of women on it, actually, too. Every month, a different person. And Chalabi, in the last few weeks, has started saying, you know, we really would like Iraq to be for the Iraqis. Now, again, there might be one of two reasons for his saying this. The first could be that second to Saddam Hussein, excuse me, Chalabi might be the most disliked Iraqi in Iraq. I mean, if there's any... Here's a guy who left the country when he was 7 years old. He you know, took down the Petra Bank in Jordan, $600 million swindle. The entire Arab world knows it. They know this guy's a crook. He lived in London. He's a multimillionaire. He's in bed with the Bush administration. The word stooge comes to mind. So, you know, one theory is that Chalabi's trying to resurrect his own image with the Iraqi people. He's trying to get the Iraqi people to think that he's his own man, or that he's at least a nationalist. He's at least not a quisling. He's not John Adams was accused in the campaign against Jefferson of being actually secretly in favor of Great Britain. Of course, Jefferson was accused of being secretly in favor of France. That so the one argument is that he's trying to suggest that no, he's really his own man. And so this is really for domestic consumption inside Iraq. And he's kind of hoping that we in the United States won't figure it out. That's one theory, or won't notice it. Or that the people in the administration, you know, hey, you served your purpose, Ahmed. You were a good, loyal guy. You gave us the intelligence we needed to go in there. And see, if everything had gone well, that would probably be how it's playing out right now. But everything is not going well. And so now comes the second story. Apparently, his number two guy, this is the theory, his number two guy has somehow been caught, it is implied, passing along a little bit of intelligence, well, a little bit, it might be a big deal, of intelligence about American activities and plans to Iran. Which brings up, see, I started to say in the Middle East, everything is, you know, nothing is as it appears. This is not exclusive to the Middle East, of course. But when you have a country that has been under a repressive regime like Saddam Hussein's, where in order to survive, you've got to figure out what's the conspiracy behind the conspiracy behind the conspiracy, everybody's got a theory. Not that we don't hear. But anyhow, the new theory that is being floated by the administration, perhaps because they don't like Chalabi talking like a nationalist. They don't like him saying, hey, we want, you know, I mean, Bush in his speech last night said, we're going to give real sovereignty to the Iraqis. Except that their industries that we've sold off to American corporations are still the property of American corporations. The 135,000 troops soon to go up will still be under the command of Americans. That you can't enter into oil contracts with any other countries because we've already made them with us. That you've got to accept the Constitution that we drafted for you. That you can't retroactively undo any of the privatization, the con economics that they've foisted upon them. Everything from the 15% flat tax to the sale of the... Anyhow, Bush says... So, things aren't going well, and so now the story is, or the implication, it's got everybody scratching their heads. Did the Iranians start feeding information to Chalabi, either through people that he trusted, or directly to him as part of a conspiracy that he was part of? See, it gets deeper and deeper here. Feed information to him that would cause him to feed information to the Bush administration that would cause the Bush administration to take out Saddam Hussein. Keep in mind, Iran lost a million of their young men, mostly, probably some women. They lost a million of their people in that war, what was it, a 7, 8, 9 year war that they had with Iraq? I mean, this was one gruesome, bloody, horrific war. And the Iranians had no use for Saddam Hussein. And now, to further complicate things, those mullahs in Iran, who are the Supreme Court, as it were, who are kind of running the show, they're all Shiites. And in Iraq, 60% of the citizens are Shiites. And so if Iran could maneuver the United States into overthrowing Saddam and then having an actual democratic election, then the Shiites might take over and create an alliance with Iran. After all, it's the same religion. It's the same, you know, I mean, they have been both enemies and allies, but they've lived together side by side for 7,000 years or longer. And there's a lot that unites them. Right now, they're upset with the United States, their hatred of Israel, the fact that they are both oil-producing countries, big-time oil-producing countries. Huge, big-time oil-producing countries. And if these two got together and religion gets into the mix, what a mess. So expect to see this play out. Here, this Julian Borger article from The Guardian, he's quoting an intelligence source in Washington. He said, it's pretty clear that the Iranians, not the Iraqis, the Iranians had us for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Iranian intelligence has been manipulating the United States for several years through Chalabi. Now, A, if that's true, the question becomes, did he know it or not? If he didn't know it, then he was a sucker and we should have figured it out. If he did know it, then hanging's not good enough for him, as they say. Larry Johnson, a former senior counterterrorist official at the State Department, said, quote, when the story ultimately comes out, we'll see that Iran has run one of the most masterful intelligence operations in history. They persuaded the United States and Britain to dispose of their greatest enemy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we had somehow convinced Chechnya? Well, no, it would have to be somebody big. We had somehow convinced China by a Chinese defector who had been living in the United States, who went back to China and convinced the Chinese that the Soviets, the Russians, were about to attack them. And so China instead preemptively attacked the Soviet Union and brought them down to benefit us. I mean, you know, that's what he's suggesting. Basically, that the Iranians manipulated us into taking out Saddam because that's what they want. I mean, they tried for 8 or 9 years in a war, didn't work. Get us to do their dirty work. It succeeded. However, it is clear, Borger says, that the CIA, at loggerheads with Mr. Shalaby for more than 8 years, believes it has caught him red-handed and is sticking to its allegations. Boy, is this a mess and a fascinating story. It's going to be fun to watch it play out, and it's going to be even more interesting to figure out what's the spin and what's the real story. Tom Hartman, 10 minutes before the hour.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channels?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second in each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
New studies of mosquitoes might bring relief from mosquito bites. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists know that mosquitoes find us by smelling our sweat, but they don't know the specific process behind it. They're one step closer to figuring it out, and that could lead to more effective mosquito repellents. John Carlson is a professor of molecular, developmental, and cellular biology at Yale University. He studied smell receptors on mosquito antennas to see how they react when they're exposed to various chemicals in human sweat. Carlson says the receptors react strongly to one specific chemical.
We've now found a particular receptor in the mosquito's antenna that is a very sensitive detector for a particular odor in human sweat. This particular receptor we've studied is only found in female antennae, not in male antennae, and that's consistent with the fact that it's only females that bite us. Another nice thing is that mosquitoes stop making this receptor after they've bitten someone, and that fits well with the fact that mosquitoes stop looking for people after they've bitten one.
Carlson says this research will help explain how mosquitoes find and bite bite people. Now that they know what receptor the mosquitoes use, they can identify odors that activate the receptors. Smells that attract mosquitoes could be used to lure the insects into traps. In addition, some odors might turn off the receptors on mosquito antennas. Those could be used to make repellents that keep mosquitoes from finding and biting people. These applications could be a great benefit for public health. Mosquitoes carry a variety of diseases that include yellow fever, West Nile virus, and malaria. Carlson says the most effective way of controlling these types of diseases is controlling the insects that carry them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Come together right now.
Well, especially in November, time for us to come together. Progressives, liberals, Democrats, middle of the road, Americans, believers in democracy, in a constitutionally limited republic. Time to come together and vote out the kleptocrats, the plutocrats. These, here we have $50 to $60 billion in gasoline price markups under Bush in the 4 years that he's been, three and fragment that he's been president. According to Consumers Union and the Consumers Federation of America, the gasoline refining and marketing segments of the domestic industry have increased pump prices by $50 to $60 billion. In the past 4 years, $50 to $60 billion. That's a pile of money. Certainly enough to buy an air conditioner for that school in wherever it was. It's no wonder, therefore, that more than 47 oil and gas executives have raised between $4.8 and $9.4 million for the 2004 re-election of George Bush. The Bush-Cheney 2004 campaign has enlisted 46 pioneers that are oil and gas industry executives. They've raised a total of 4.6, just those guys have raised a total of $4.6 million. But wait a minute. Bush had said, well, the prices are up because of 9/11. Well, no, it turned out that wasn't the case. Well, the supply and demand. Well, finally he had said that his relationships with the Middle East, and of course Bob Woodward told us this in his new book, he said, Prince Bandar told George Bush last year, we're going to keep oil prices high until the middle of the summer. Then come May, June, July, August, we will drop the price of oil by increasing production so that by September, October, November, the price of gasoline in the United States drops by 20, 30 cents. And you, George, will get reelected. And last week, and the week before, the Saudis, sure enough, tried to keep their promise. Now the question is, will the explosion in demand for oil combined, coming out of India and China, combined with the fact that we are actually pushing the Hubbard peak, we're running out of oil on the planet, is it going to be enough? Frankly, I don't think so, but we'll see. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, news without conflicts of global corporate interest.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The founding fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hart.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. When the head of the not-for-profit New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, stepped down last September, details of his shocking severance pay package were disclosed. Now, after a four-month-long investigation, the New York State Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer, has filed a civil lawsuit against the former executive seeking to recover over $100 million of Grasso's pay package. The lawsuit charges all of the compensation directors that voted unanimously in favor of this contract were appointed by and under the supervision of Grasso, who charges that the stock exchange still owes him $48 million.
Commercial aviation workers at factories owned by Boeing in Kansas and Oklahoma are a bit edgy after finding out the company's looking to sell the facilities, which employ some 8,500 people. No word on whether or not a sale would mean job losses, but unions at the plants believe so. Potential buyers may begin touring the facilities next month, and Boeing hopes to complete a sale before the end of the year.
A new report released by the nonpartisan U.S. General Accounting Office says the Bush administration violated federal law by sending videos out to press offices that contained made-to-look-real newscasts, complete with actors portraying reporters. Federal law prohibits taxpayer money for use in the production of propaganda, and the GAO found that in the White House videos, viewers could not tell the message came from the government and that the actors playing reporters were paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A study released yesterday by the United Nations International Labor Organization finds nearly half the world's population is deprived of internationally recognized rights on the job, most notably the rights to collectively organize and bargain with employers. The abuses are worst in developing countries, and especially those that have set up special development zones for global trade. In such places, workers are regularly intimidated for suggesting union representation. The report also notes there is no evidence to suggest that giving workers the freedom to associate and bargain collectively hurts a country's economy. This finding confirms conclusions reached in a similar report released last year by the World Bank.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. According to a new report released by Washington-based researchers at Good Jobs First, Walmart stores are getting rich at taxpayers' expense. In the past 10 years, Walmart has received more than $1 billion in state and local government subsidies for its 2,900 stores and 91 distribution centers in the United States. The subsidies range from tax refunds and job training to road construction to the stores.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
So far, the most interesting aspect of the Bush government's prison torture scandal in Iraq, and who knows where else, is the refusal by the Bushites to take responsibility. These people constantly lecture the rest of us on being responsible for our actions, asserting that there's no relativity when it comes to good and evil. Yet here, tucked in the dark horror of their own war, are actions that rank among the purest of evils, and all they give us is moral equivocation and ducking of personal responsibility. George himself says only that he's disgusted and repulsed by the torture. But wait a minute. Hasn't he been the one to set the tone by demonizing his enemies as evildoers who deserve all the horror they get? Isn't he the president who has autocratically suspended the human rights of thousands of detainees? And didn't he officially authorize the CIA and FBI to go at least to the legal brink of torture in their interrogation of suspects? Also, George was told about the torture back in January. Was he repulsed then too, or is he only disgusted now that the torture has become public? Then there's Rumsfeld. He says he takes full responsibility for what happened. But that's just empty rhetoric, for he insists that he should pay no price for what happened, even though he's the one who imperiously declared at the war's start that Iraqi captives would not get the humane protections of the Geneva Convention, and even though he's known since last year that this torture was going on. Rummy even tried to escape the moral seriousness of the crimes by claiming that they are abuse rather than torture. Meanwhile, Bush and Rumsfeld are proceeding with heavily publicized military trials of a few low-level grunts in Iraq, hoping to sacrifice them to an angry public while washing their own hands of any responsibility. This is Jim Hightower saying, accountability is essential, especially in war, and it runs all the way to the top.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Hour three of the Tom Hartman radio program. Welcome back, my friends. Deregulation binge. See, you got to understand, the key to the corporate, to the conservative agenda, the key to the con agenda. By the way, somebody in our chat room, it's scrolled off now. I don't remember who it is, so I apologize to the whoever came up with it. Proposed a great bumper sticker for the Bush-Cheney administration for 2004. Bush-Cheney 2004, putting the con back in conservative. Anyhow, the I thought it was great. And thank you. And if you want to drop into our chat room, just go to TomHartman.com and click on the chat link, and it'll take you to the CompuServe Democratic Forum, and click on the chat link there, and boom, you're in. If you're not a CompuServe or AOL member, if you are, you put in your screen name and password. If you're not, you can get a screen name and password. No credit card, no charge. All you have to do is have an email address. You know, they do that to keep out spammers and things like that. But it's not like you're going to get on all kinds of lists and all that kind of nonsense. It's a pretty stand-up thing. Anyhow, deregulation binge. The Center for American Progress has a great summary of this stuff in today's progress report. And this is what I have been telling you now for 2 years. This is the core of the con agenda, the key. What you must understand about the con agenda, the conservative agenda, the so-called conservative agenda, and this is not the conservative agenda of Dwight Eisenhower and Barry Goldwater. This is the conservative agenda of the Gilded Age, the 1880s, the 1890s. This is the conservative agenda of Herbert Hoover. This is the conservative agenda of Alexander Hamilton, and this is the conservative agenda of Reagan, Bush, Bush. And big chunks, frankly, of the Democratic Party that call themselves the Democratic Leadership Council. The conservative agenda is replace governance and government of, by, and for we the people with what they euphemistically refer to as the free market, but what they really mean is the rich and powerful who use the corporate form to assert their power in the halls of Washington and in our daily lives. That is quite simply what it boils down to, just absolutely entirely. OMB Watch and the Center for American Progress put together this a joint report laying this stuff out. They say, from the environment and highways to homeland security and energy policy, the report finds President Bush has put narrow corporate interests over the broader public good. In fact, it's just not going to happen. If anybody can come up with a single example of the Bush administration making a policy decision that benefits we the people rather than corporate interests, give me a call. I'll give you a free book. We'll come up with some kind of prize. It's not going to happen. I'll give you a free copy of We the People. How's that? It ain't going to happen. Anyhow, they have put narrow corporate interests over the broader public good. A few of the report's more startling examples. In May 2002, the administration gave a present to the coal industry and violated the Clean Water Act when it lifted protections against mountaintop mining and revoked the prohibition against dumping into rivers and streams for the sole purpose of disposing waste. But wait a minute, you say. When I use the toilet here in my home, it has to go to the central facility. You know, it goes into the sewer pipes and it goes to the wastewater treatment plant. It gets all purified and bacteria and gravel and stuff added to it and kills it off. And then it gets dumped into the, in my case here, the Winooski River, ultimately out to Lake Champlain and then the St. Lawrence Seaway and then back out to the Atlantic Ocean. But by then it's cleaned up. Isn't that what we do with waste, with liquid waste? Haven't we learned our lessons from the 19th century or from the early from 1965 when there was 67 when the Cuyahoga River caught fire? Haven't we figured this stuff out? Well, apparently the Bush administration hasn't. They violated the Clean Water Act when they lifted protections against mountaintop mining and revoked the prohibition against dumping into rivers and streams for the sole purpose. I'm quoting from this report. The sole purpose of disposing waste. End quote. Yeah, the cities have to abide by the rules. You human beings, you've got to abide by the rules, and you've got to pay for it with your own tax dollars. My property taxes here in Vermont go in part to pay for the sewage treatment plant that my house and every other house in this city feeds. I have to pay for that. That's an appropriate thing. I am not complaining. I would like our rivers to be clean. I would like our waste to be cleaned up. But here we have not just a corporation, but an entire industry coming to the Bush administration and saying, you know, guys, we don't think we should have to pay to clean up this waste. In fact, what the heck? Let's not even clean it up. Let's just dump it into the rivers. And the Bush administration, what does George say? What does George say?
Fine by me, guys. By the way, got any Rangers or Pioneers who want to give me $100,000 for my campaign? Or $200,000? Or $1,000,000?
That same year, Bush administration Administrator John Graham forced the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to adopt an inferior standard on tire safety favored by automobile manufacturers and putting drivers at risk. You know, your car is less safe now. You are more likely to have a tire blow out, your car go out of control, roll over, crash, die, because John Graham in the Bush administration said to the industry, okay, we'll go along with the standard you want, rather than the one that our scientists in the government say is possible, is feasible, is viable, is economical, and is going to save lives. And in a continuing story, the administration has resisted on behalf of the chemical industry to consider serious safeguards that might protect the public from terrorist attacks at chemical plants. I flew to New York City this weekend. I had to take off my shoes and walk across an athlete's foot fungus-laden carpet so that they could make sure that I hadn't stashed a bomb in the sole of my shoes. This, by the way, I find this fascinating. I have had no fewer than six people in the last year comment, you know, people sitting next to me on airplanes, comment to me about how they think they got athlete's foot from walking through these airports. One of them was a woman who said she was flying out of Florida and she was wearing sandals. And she refused to walk on the, because she was barefoot, she didn't even have socks to protect. She refused to walk, you know, through the machine barefoot because she said she didn't want to pick up athlete's foot. And they took her over to the side, and in a very menacing voice, this guy put his face right up against her, put his finger in her right up against her nose, and he said, "Lady, you're going to do it or you're going to go to jail right now." She was rather indignant. Anyhow, I went through security at the airport, and I didn't complain. I mean, you know, it's, you never know. I mean, it doesn't make much sense. Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, the only guy who's ever gotten a bomb in a shoe. The bomb was plastique. It was C4. There was no metal in it. It wouldn't have shown up on the X-ray machine. But nonetheless, they got to X-ray our shoes, so they got to figure this stuff out. They got to know. They got to know that we're safe, right? Got to protect us from terrorists, right? After all, a terrorist might get another airplane, kill another few thousand people. What would happen if a terrorist... the news here this morning, I believe it was in Conyers, Georgia, before I went on the air, one of our kids called us up. Our daughter, our oldest daughter lives in Atlanta. And our son lives in Athens, Georgia. And he called up and he said, you know, this looks to me like his sister was downwind from this chemical plant. This chemical plant on fire, you know, and it's like they're evacuating the whole area. It was apparently a plant where they make things to clean, purify pools and spas and stuff. And some of those are pretty toxic chemicals, you know. Can you imagine what kind of damage could be done if one of the 200 or 300 major chemical storage facilities in the United States was seriously attacked by an aggressive terrorist or a group of terrorists, particularly one near a large metro center? Well, while the Bush administration wants to make sure that I take off my shoes and walk across the athlete's foot carpet, the administration has resisted on behalf of the chemical industry, a substantial donor to Republican causes, a congressional effort to consider serious safeguards that might protect the public from terrorist attacks on chemical plants. Jonathan and Bell, oh, this is interesting. Maybe we have a winner. 1-866-889-8894. Jonathan in Palm Desert. Okay, what's George Bush done that benefits humans more than corporations, Jonathan?
Well, I'm not too... You'd have to parse this one very carefully, but I think the proposed constitutional ban on gay marriage might count.
How does that...
As horrible as that might be.
How does that benefit human beings?
To be perfectly honest, I'm not too sure, but I don't think it benefits corporations at all.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I guess it would, because then they wouldn't have to...
Then they wouldn't have to pay benefits.
Right, exactly.
Actually, yeah, if you've got a ban, then you've got all those gay people who cannot, you know, the corporations don't have to pay for health insurance for their... So it does help the corporations, and it's a limitation of civil rights, so it does hurt people. Sorry, Jonathan.
Right. Okay.
Good try.
One quick comment, though, before I go.
Sure.
There was a great little quote on this website, Oliver Griswold, Reading with the Enemy.
Uh-huh.
He's a liberal who decided to go an entire month on right-wing radio only.
Right, we got about 10 seconds here.
The quote was, once Iraq is a steaming bloody crater of democracy, it will serve as a model for future steaming bloody craters of all across the Middle East.
Not just all across the Middle East. I mean, they're looking at the planet. Jonathan, thanks for taking a good shot at it. I appreciate it.
All right.
Always nice to hear from you there in Palm Desert. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tom Hartman radio program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank or the RNC.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find a sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
When I think about getting older, it's not dying I worry about, it's living and being buried under a pile of medical bills I can't pay for.
Healthcare costs are soaring. Millions more Americans are uninsured, and those who have coverage are paying more out of pocket. Yet President Bush offers no plan to curb costs, and his new Medicare law would actually ban the government from negotiating lower prices from drug companies.
The cost of these drugs, it's very scary.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000. $1,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the Pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird in the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name.
And welcome back, 25 minutes after the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Discussing this report on the Center for American Progress today, the Progress Report, about corporate power. Do we really want a nation run by corporations rather than officials elected by we, the people? I mean, it must have been about a year and a half ago. I was out in Los Angeles. In fact, I'd gone out specifically to meet with Leonardo DiCaprio. He was putting together a web movie based on my book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, which you can find at his website now. It's out at leonardodicaprio.com. It's called Global Warning. And at the very end, it says inspired by the book by Tom Hartman, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. Anyhow, I'd gone out there to hang out with him and met with his mother and his grandmother. Fascinating guy. He drives a Prius. A Prius. I drive a Prius too, I guess, you know, but I mean, here's a guy who could afford to drive anything. And anyhow, I was out there for that meeting and I gave a speech in, they had set up this thing, you know, where one of the local Los Angeles liberals, I guess, the conservatives would refer to them as, had set up this thing in this beautiful home. Up on top of the hill over Santa Monica, right on the ocean there at the top of the hill overlooking the highway and then the ocean. And it's just, you know, one of these breathtaking views. And I talked for an hour and a half about corporate power and basically the topic of a book I wrote called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. And I asked the question, do we want to live in a society? And that's the question I'm really drilling into right now in this hour. The question, do we want to live in a society where decisions are made by we the people through our elected representatives, or in some cases directly by we the people, as in the case of the referendum systems that many states have, or do we want to live in a society where the decisions are made by corporate powers? And there was this one guy, and I went through this whole thing, and there was this one guy who got up, and he looked like Cato Kalin, you know? I mean, he was like, you know, a surfer dude, right? And he got up when I was done, and he was like, that all sounds good, man, but, you know, I just, I vote with my dollars. I mean, if I don't like something a corporation's doing, I just don't buy from them. I mean, isn't that good enough? No, sorry, it's not. Not anywhere near good enough. Voting with your dollars means people with the most dollars have the most votes. That's not democracy. 1-866-889-8894. Michael in Atlanta's on the line. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Nice to talk to you again. I wondered if you had noticed this story. I stumbled upon it by accident today, and it's dated as May 18th. Of this year, and it says Colin Powell admits that the WMD claims was wrong, and it's not getting any coverage. I can't find it on CNN or Yahoo or any of those news services at all, but yeah. I'm finding it all on all the foreign news services.
Well, it was a one-day wonder. I mean, you know, I remember when it happened, and in fact they discussed that on Crossfire, as I recall, on CNN, but it wasn't anything that got a lot of play. In fact, I think he might have been out of the country when he made the comment.
Yes, it says he was, where did it say he was? Well, anyway, it's on here, and the interesting thing, it says a senior staffer tried to end the interview by grabbing the camera into which Mr. Powell was speaking.
Oh, that was Tim Russert. That was Meet the Press a week ago Sunday. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that was a national television. What's interesting is that there wasn't much follow-up on it. There were a couple of stories about how, you know, his senior staffer tried to censor him, but yeah, he basically said, I'd have to go back and get the transcript. I'll dig that out for tomorrow. But basically, he said, yeah, it looks like we blew it. And apparently that wasn't what his senior staffer wanted him to say. Thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate it.
A must read, The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. Ed Halliwell, a nationally recognized expert on ADD, said this about the Edison Gene.
Tom Hartman demonstrates that ADHD can be associated with creativity, high achievement, and a most successful adaptive style.
The Edison Gene, now available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I will propose a package of benefit changes affecting future benefits, not benefits already earned, that will reduce the liability by more than $900 million. And we will be, our employees will have more secure pensions than they have in other places. And our city will be stronger because we did it in a manner that did not cut basic services or raise taxes.
Houston Mayor Bill White says city employees retire too early and receive excessively generous benefits. Workers say the city of Houston made a promise it now wants to break. Proposition 1 on Saturday's ballot allows the mayor to change benefits packages employees thought were protected by the state. 73% of Texas voters ratified a constitutional amendment last year protecting municipal employee pensions from market fluctuation. At a local Carpenters Union Hall, which served as Anti-Prop 1 headquarters, a 35-year maintenance employee, Don Roberts, was one of the dozen city workers making last-minute phone calls to voters. Roberts said, when it comes to the budget deficit, Mayor White's not telling the truth.
And if they can afford to give the buyers of the Enron building $3 million tax break, they can afford to put $3 million in the pension system.
John Roberts says reconciliation is unlikely because of a fundamental difference between how the mayor and the workers view the city.
I don't know what his agenda is. All I know is Bill White is a businessman, and I think he's looking at this city as trying to make a profit because he's profit-oriented. And the city of Houston is not a profit organization. The city of Houston is a service. It's a service. We will always be in the service to the citizens of Houston, period.
But Bill White isn't the only mayor with a business approach to city government. With cities around the country facing similar pension crises, Houston Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee said she's afraid the local vote could set a precedent.
Because if we are successful in the fourth largest city in the nation to undermine workers' rights, it is only a green light for cities and states and other municipalities around the nation who might be dissatisfied with the protection they now have. Now, keep in mind, they would like to get rid of this protection, some of them, maybe. And so they might see this as that potential of going into these funds as a potential cash resource for city services. And I believe that if this happens in Houston, then other municipalities and states may get an idea, oh, here's how to eliminate workers' rights. We'll just go straight to the public. We'll tell them about increased taxes. We'll tell them about decreased services, and we'll have the kind of vote that we would need.
For the Workers Independent News Service, I'm Erica McDonald in Houston.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
I was one of you who stood up for you.
And welcome back. 26 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Beaming live around the planet on radiopower.org. Beaming into homes from Maine to Los Angeles on the cable radio network. Our newest affiliate. You know those high channels on your TV where you can hear music? You can hear me on some of them. In many cities around the country, cable radio network. There's a link off our homepage. And, of course, on radio stations from coast to coast. And streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, although this part of the program is played at 2 o'clock in the morning. Our live portion is the noon to 1. Anyhow, here we are. We are back. We are back 25 minutes to before the hour. And this is just the corporate takeover. The corporate takeover. Okay. Louise says, Lois in Berkeley has something good on Bush and wants to win the contest. Okay, Lois, welcome to the program. Take a shot at it.
Yeah, well, I actually got some tax money back a couple of years ago, and I had just got a fixer-upper house, and I was able to employ half the community fixing it up because of the tax money.
Okay, and you think that that benefits people rather than large corporations?
Well, it benefited the 10, 15 people I hired and me.
Right.
But that's the best thing he's ever done, in my opinion.
Now, okay, you're getting close there. Here's my problem with that. Do you think that that was actually a tax refund? Or do you think
that's what the tax guy told me.
Well, but see, if we're in a deficit, if we have a $500 billion deficit, that means that George Bush had to borrow that money from my children and yours, if you have them, in order to give you that money.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous when you owe money to decide to have even less.
Right, and so he had to borrow that money, and in the course of borrowing that money, he created an opportunity for the banking industry, which you know brokers a lot most of this stuff. All these secondary markets and securities and things. He created an opportunity for an enormous amount of profit to be made by corporate America. I mean, all this debt that the United States, not just corporate America, transnational corporations all over the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was obviously just benefiting his buddies, but somehow by doing that, I got something out of it. I was very surprised.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I philosophically, I disagree with you because I don't consider these actual tax refunds. I consider these essentially bribes. You know, this is Bush trying to buy votes by borrowing money from our children and grandchildren and giving it to us, and particularly to his rich buddies. But
well,
all the way down the stream. Yeah,
but
I think it's close enough that we'll send you a book. That was a good shot, Lois, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your trying. You know, you're giving a shot. So we would be glad to send you a copy of We the People, A Call to Take Back America. And I'm going to put you on hold, and Louise can get your mailing address information if that's
all right
with you. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Thanks for giving it a shot. And although I just want to be on the record, I still am not. It's not 100%, but it's close enough. It's close enough. There
for
you
him,
go.
Yeah.
Hang on, Lois. There you go. 23 minutes before the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program. And Louise points out, one of the folks in our chat room says, I agree with your goals, but while America was founded by small businessmen, modern America is the creature of corporations. So I'm not sure what you can achieve what you want is integral to the very nature of the USA. Well, the easy answer is we've done it before. We've done it before. I mean, corporate power in the United States was mind-boggling during the Gilded Age. The average person had no rights at all. People, I mean, you read some of the histories of the 1880s, 1890s, 1900, 1910, that about a 40-year era in there, about what it was like to live in New York City in the slums and the tenements where the raw sewage came down the outsides of the buildings, where people, you know, a cholera epidemic sweeping the country. And why? Because it was almost impossible to earn a living wage. It took Teddy Roosevelt screaming about this stuff, the progressive and populist movement, starting in the 1890s, pushing all the way through, you know, 1917, direct election of the Senate, 1920, the right of women to vote, and then the Great Depression, and finally Roosevelt came along and said, okay, there's structural stuff we can do. We can have a minimum wage, even though the United States Supreme Court had declared it unconstitutional in 1923. We're going to do it again. And he got it through. He packed the court, essentially. We can have a minimum wage, and it can be a living wage. We can have the right of unions to organize. In 1935, Roosevelt got the Wagner Act passed, which gave unions, which gave human beings the right to form into unions and challenge corporate power. Now, yes, that got rolled back in 1947 over the veto of Harry Truman by a Republican House and a Republican Senate. It got rolled back with the Taft-Hartley Act. Not entirely rolled back, but, you know, somewhat rolled back. But we have done it in the past. We have overcome slavery in the United States, as in black-white slavery. We have overcome the genocide against the Native Americans in the United States, although having lived and worked among Native American tribes out west, I would say to some extent it's still an ongoing process, just as discrimination, racial discrimination, is still a very real thing in the United States. But nonetheless, in both cases, we have made tremendous progress. Women are no longer considered the property of their fathers or their husbands or their sons if their father or husband died. And Thomas Jefferson, when his father died, when Jefferson was 15 years old, inherited his mother. Responsibility for his mother. We have changed things in the United States before. We can do it again. We really can. And the way that change has always happened is it has always happened by, number one, people waking up, people getting the message, people listening, they're, you know, reading things like commondreams.org or Take Back the Media or the opednews.com or buzzflash.com. By the way, we've got a great new book on buzzflash.com this month, our Book of the Month Club. I just had one of those senior moments where the title of it just completely vanished from my brain. It's by Charles Kelly. Oh, Class Warfare in America is the title of it. An excellent book. It's a book that you can read in about 3 hours. It's the same guy who wrote The Great Limbaugh Con. But it's about how the cons are squeezing us economically. It's a brilliant book. Not an academic book at all. Fascinating. Anyhow, reading these websites, makethemaccountable.com, so on and so forth, that was back in the 18th century and in the 19th century and in the early years of the 20th century what was called pamphleting or leafleting. Today it's called the Internet. And it always began with people, big-mouth people like you and me, finding out the truth, talking about the truth, waking up their neighbors and friends. I mean, if you were simply to awaken 10 people, and they were to awaken 10 people, and they were to, I mean, you know, the math is mind-boggling. The cons did it. I mean, here you got, you know, 15 years of conservative talk radio and a small, what was considered a lunatic fringe in 1960 has taken over the Republican Party. Well, I think that rational, small-d Democrats, that is, those who believe in democracy and a constitutionally limited republic, those who believe in the principles that Jefferson and Madison and even Adams gave lip service to, but certainly the Democratic Republicans back in those days believed in, and that have so often bubbled back up to the surface in the United States, can happen again. It can happen again. We can take back our country. And the way to do it is to wake people up one at a time, one after another, and get them to the polls. Back to this corporate takeover. One of the ways the administration has accelerated the rollback of public safeguards has been appointing ex-industry lobbyists to regulatory positions I shared with you parts of this story a couple days ago. The Denver Post pointed out that President Bush has installed more than 100 top officials who were once lobbyists, attorneys, or spokespeople for the industries that they now oversee. Amazing. 1-866-889-8894. Another entrant into our contest. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Is it Roque?
Roque.
Roque.
Yeah.
In Santa Fe. Hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi.
You got something that George Bush did for people instead of corporations?
Well, you just said it yourself. He inspired this grassroots movement. It's gotten people to read the internet, read newspapers, listen to alternative radio, and do all the things that you just described. It's the biggest grassroots movement globally to ever happen.
Yeah, you're right. More people
did that single-handedly.
Yeah, more people showed up to protest the Iraq war in the streets of the world than had ever happened in the history of the world. Okay, on the one hand, you're absolutely right, and we'll send you a book. You have sort of won the contest. On the other hand, that wasn't what he set out to do. That wasn't his goal, and so, you know, again, this isn't a case of Bush putting people ahead of corporations. It's just the outcome of it. But I thought that was great. I thought the way that you framed that, you know, that's a good one. Okay, we'll pass along a book on that. Let me put you on hold, and Louise will take your name and address.
Okay,
I appreciate the call. Yeah, 1-866-889-8894. Interesting, isn't it interesting how hard or how far folks have to stretch to come up with? I mean, it's been 3.5 years the guy's been president. You'd think he could one thing. That benefits people rather than corporations. Amazing. In at least 20 of these cases, of these top 100 officials that Bush has appointed to overlook the various industries of America, in 20 of these cases, those former industry advocates have helped their agencies write, shape, or push for policy shifts that benefit their former industries. For example, Mark Ray, he's the EPA's air administrator. I'm sorry, Jeffrey Homestead, previously a representative of corporate interests seeking to block environmental safeguard, is now the EPA's air administrator, Jeffrey Homestead. He was a lobbyist for corporate interests trying to block environmental safeguards, and he's now the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Here's another one, Mark Ray. He spent 20 years at the big Timber Trade Association. What does he oversee now? What do you think? Let's see, 20 years as head of the Timber Trade Association. Let's put him in charge of, what? The Forest Service! In just one example, Homestead, this is Jeffrey Homestead, the guy who's now the EPA's air administrator, the former anti-air lobbyist, as it were, has embraced controversial new air pollution regulations that drastically reduce emission standards. Don't reduce emissions. Reduce the standards for new air pollution regulations. I'm sorry, for chemicals causing cancer and leukemia. He's reduced the standards for chemicals that we know cause cancer and leukemia. I guess they're, you know, leukemia is a form of cancer. The regulations, quote, could save the wood products industry hundreds of millions of dollars. And I wonder how many of those hundreds of millions of dollars that the wood products industry is saving as a result of their one of their corporate buddies being appointed as a regulator in the Bush administration. I wonder how many of those hundreds of millions of dollars that they're saving are going to find their way back into the checkbook of the Republican National Committee headed up by former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie. or the Bush-Cheney campaign or other Republicans like former bug killer Tom DeLay. You know, this guy, you know, he was an exterminator. One of my brothers was an exterminator, you know, for a while back when we were young, and it was a job for a while. You know, nothing wrong with it. Except that in Tom DeLay's case, I think he did it for too many years, long before they had precautions and warnings. And I'm beginning to suspect that, you know, how, I don't know how it is now, but, you know, they use nitrous oxide as a propellant in whipped cream. And when I was a kid, kids used to go into the supermarket and take a whiff of that stuff. I think Tom DeLay was doing that with his bug killer stuff. You know, anyhow, how much of that hundreds of millions of dollars has found its way into his pockets? And Bill Frist, well, of course, his is coming from the hospital industry. On and on it goes. What happens when whistleblowers step forward to talk about this? A fascinating story. A fascinating story. Coming right up. 10 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order 2 bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get 2 bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Environmentally friendly products are gaining in the marketplace, but high prices are sometimes an obstacle. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Consumers can buy recycled paper, organic foods, and wind-powered electricity, but green products still account for less than 1% of the overall market. Lisa Masney is a researcher with the WorldWatch Institute.
there hasn't been enough demand yet to really raise the profile of these types of products. But increasingly, I think as consumers demand them, producers are going to be more willing to manufacture them, and then we are going to see growth.
Masney says many environmentally friendly products are a bit pricey.
A lot of green products are more expensive than conventional products. So therefore, you know, the people that are buying them are people that can afford to do so. For example, organic foods, that's another area where we're seeing huge growth.
But much of that growth is concentrated in higher income communities. Still, Masney says organic food prices have been dropping as consumer demand has grown, and other green products will probably follow the same trend. Like many environmentalists, Masney argues that all consumption of goods and services places a burden on the environment. But she says buying green can help cut pollution and save natural resources.
We're not telling people to cut back on everything they buy, but what we're suggesting is that at least one step they can take is to buy differently. And I think that that's an encouraging message because it's a little more positive than telling people that they have to just stop consuming altogether.
Masney advises consumers to choose a green alternative whenever possible. The World Watch Institute has an online guide to help you do that. You can find it on its website at worldwatch.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Our world has begun to spin like a Ferris wheel. The threat of world annihilation is getting very real. And what a hope in happiness. Are they forever lost?
Are we just... And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. We're talking about corporate power and the Bush administration when whistleblowers... And do you really want a government of, by, and for the corporations, or would you rather have back a government of, by, and for we, the people? When whistleblowers step forward, notes the Center for American Progress, to protest administration rollbacks, they are ignored, reassigned, or dismissed. For example, Michael Kelly, a biologist for the National Fisheries Service, resigned less than 2 years after he filed a federal whistleblower complaint concerning political interference in setting water levels prior to the massive Klamath fish kill in the fall of 2002, saying his recommendations had been ignored and that the current political climate, which is a polite way of saying Dick Cheney's interference, rendered futile his attempts to affect administration policy. When 14-year FAA veteran Bogdan Djajevic identified serious problems in aviation security, he was transferred to, quote, bureaucratic Siberia. He told the 9/11 Commission, the more serious the problems in aviation security we identified, the more the FAA tied our hands behind our backs. It gets even worse, though. Corporate interests have so infiltrated the White House, notes the Center for American Progress, that the administration is now going out of its way to prevent industries from regulating themselves. For instance, the LA Times reports that the Department of Agriculture is doing everything it can to fight American cattle ranchers who want to test their own cows for mad cow disease. According to Knight Ritter, that same department is staffed with former executives of the meat industry, now in charge of regulating their former employers. USDA Chief of Staff Dale Moore, Senior Advisor Elizabeth Johnson, and Chuck Lambert, Deputy Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, all came from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Deputy Undersecretary James Butler joined the USDA after serving as partner in Butler & Sons Charis Ranch, a Texas cattle company, while Deputy Secretary James Mosley was managing partner of Infinity Pork, LLC, an Indiana hog farm. Donna Reinschfelder, the agency's administrator of inspection, is the former president of the National Pork Producers Council. We must take America back. We must. And we can do it in November. We can do it. You and me. help wake up people. Thanks to Louise for producing our show today. Thanks to Brad Walrod for our music. Thanks to Jay for writing and composing our theme music. Thanks to Shelby and Ben for getting us out on the web. And Mike Toth, thanks to our sponsors, our folks in our chat room who showed up. And thanks to you for listening. I appreciate it. See you tomorrow, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.